to Matthew chapter 18. We will look there for a moment and then also turn to Luke chapter 15 this morning, so you might place your finger over there as well. As we read the words of God this morning, please remember that these are inspired by the Holy Spirit. These are true words, no matter what we think or others may think. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who either had a demon, was insane, or was who he said he was, the very Son of God. We've already seen in Matthew chapter 18 that he was confronting his disciples with their arrogance because they each were arguing which was greater than the other in verse 1. Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven, they said. And he placed a child in their midst that believed in him. He was a believing child. And he warned them that they must humble themselves as this child to be great in the kingdom of God, and that they should not cause one of the little ones that believes in him to stumble into sin. And he said in verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is straying? And if it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Thus it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones perish." Turn with me to Luke chapter 15 now, where he repeats this parable on a different occasion. Luke chapter 15. "Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' And he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you that in the same way there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Let us pray together. We thank you, Father, for our Lord Jesus Christ and the great wisdom that rested in his mind. We thank you that these are not the words of one who is demon-possessed or insane, but one who is speaking of a God who loves sinners, God who would not spare even his own Son to bring those who deserve his judgment and wrath into his presence. We thank you that these words offer hope to those of us that sit in this room that have sinned against God, and all of us have. We thank you that we have a Savior who is a good shepherd, who came to seek and to save that which was lost, even at the risk of his own personal life and soul. We ask that this truth of the good news of God's mercy and kindness and love in Jesus Christ would be the comfort of our hearts each day. to enable us to weather the storms of life, the sorrows, the temptations, the struggles, and that it would make us have joy in all our circumstances, that we are never deserted by a God who would not even spare his own son to bring us to himself. How we ask that you would send the Spirit into every heart here today to see that in Jesus Christ there is hope of eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, and the blessing of God upon our lives each day, and only in him. Send your Spirit, I pray, to convict us of sin, to comfort us with the cross of Christ, and to inspire us to live each day for the Son of God, for he deserves our love. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ explained the same parable in two different situations. And as I've been thinking and studying about this parable this week, it's occurred to me that he's using the same parable for two different purposes. In Matthew 18, he uses the parable of the lost sheep to humble arrogant, prideful disciples, to cause them to see, first of all, that when they look down upon each other, when they consider themselves greater than others, they're forgetting something very important, that every single one of Jesus' sheep have been sought out by him, that he has come into this world and shed his blood to bring back each one of them into his bosom, and to look down upon one of them and to be arrogant toward any of them is to risk the displeasure of the shepherd who laid down his life for their soul. So he's dealing with arrogant disciples here who have a haughty spirit toward each other. They have a prideful, self-centered spirit. They were not servants of each other. Whereas in Matthew 15, he's dealing with the Pharisees, these self-righteous, religious hypocrites, who were criticizing Jesus because he received sinners and tax gatherers and ate with them. And he uses the same parable to tell these Pharisees, do not despise sinners and tax gatherers, for I came to bring them to myself. I came to eat and drink with sinners. I came to seek them to be my children, to die for them, to make them my sheep. And so he uses this little parable for two different purposes. One, to teach disciples humility. The other, to teach Pharisees their need of God's grace. And therein is the real value of this parable. For it teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ is a shepherd of sinners. And the secret of understanding how to live in his kingdom and how to be useful to him, how to bring glory to him in one's life, is to never get over the truth that we ourselves once were lost, we ourselves were perishing, we ourselves were sinners, separated from God, lost in darkness and in danger, when he, at the risk of his own soul and life, entered a dark world full of sin and did not let one, not one of his sheep perish. But died upon the cross that all that the Father given him would come to him, and that he would lose nothing, he says in John chapter 6, but would raise it up on the last day. This parable is a parable of grace, a parable of what God is like. Would you like to know what God is like? He's like a shepherd who goes after little lambs in danger at the risk of his own life to bring them to himself. And when he finds those little lambs, he is like a shepherd who rejoices in his own heart to bring them to safety because he has loved them at the risk of his own life. This parable is one of the most precious teachings in the Scripture. Our Lord Jesus Christ did not say every parable twice. And when he does so, we should pay attention. Boys and girls, sheep can't take care of themselves. They need a shepherd. And in this parable, we have three characters: a shepherd, a lost sheep, and 99 others. I'd like us to begin by asking, who is the lost sheep in this parable? And the truth applies whether you're in Matthew 18 or Luke 15. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way." Boys and girls, sheep are not very smart animals. I'm not a farmer or a herdsman, but in the things I've read about sheep, they are not very smart. It's not very smart to wander away from the flock because you think you know more than the shepherd. It's not smart to think that you can find your way back all by yourself, that you can feed yourself and take care of yourself. The sheep is not strong enough to protect himself from enemies. "We are like that," said Isaiah. "We are like sheep. We think we're so strong and powerful, so smart and so wise." Adam and Eve did. They heard what God had said. "You shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die." I don't believe that. God is stupid. I know better than God. I am God. That's what sin is. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. Have you ever thought, you know, if I were in charge of the world, do you know what would happen if you were in charge of the world? This world would be in a lot bigger mess than it is right now. If I were in the charge of the world, I would do this, or I would do that, or I would stop war and stop famine and do you not understand that you are a sheep and that he is the shepherd? All we like sheep have gone astray. We aren't as smart as we think we are. We do not know best as we think we do. Until our hearts are bowed down to one who is wiser and stronger than we are, then the Bible says every thought and intent of our heart is only evil continually. Would you like someone like that to be in charge of the world? Most of us have enough problem with the mess we've made of our own lives, much less taking the responsibility of everyone else's. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to our own way. Men actually think they are wiser than God. And everyone who refuses to bow to the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to live life their own way instead of the way that He Himself has commanded and given, is saying to the Son of God, I'm wiser than you are. I know more. I know what's best for my life. Do you know what happens to sheep who go their own way? They get lost. I think that I'll go down this path. I know the flock is going over here, but I'll go down this path because I think the grass is greener down this path. I think there's more water here. I think there's more pleasure here, more shade here. So they get lost. Lost on the mountainside. Lost in the ravines and valleys of self and sin and ignorance. Caught in darkness. Caught in brambles that they cannot get out of. Threatened by wild beasts that stalk them by day and by night. You know what the word lost means in the Bible? Perishing. That's what it means. It means destroyed. It doesn't mean that they are just a little bit out of their way. It doesn't mean that they've lost their sense of direction. It means that they are in danger of destruction and perishing. You may be thinking, I'm not a lost sheep. Just because Jesus Christ is not the center of my being and the center of my life, I've got things pretty much under control. I'm doing pretty well in school, pretty well in sports. People like me. Got a good job. Respectable. I'm not lost. I'm not perishing. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The sad thing about lost sheep is they don't know they're lost until it's too late. Till they walk on the edge of a cliff and fall over into the ravine. Or they turn around a corner and a beast pounces upon them to devour them. Till the sinner is so caught in sin and bitterness and hatred and lust, so tangled with self-will that there is a sudden destruction. Unexpected, unseen, and there it is. It may be death. As the rich man who said, I will build bigger barns to store my feed and my seed and my crops. And Jesus said that God said to him, "This night your soul is required of you." It may be one who knows that they need to follow the will of Christ in their family, or at work, or at school, in their relationships with young men or women. I'll get around to that later. And then sudden destruction comes. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. Then what can we do? If we're lost, what can we do? If we're apart from God, if we cannot find our way back, if we cannot protect ourselves, what can we do? There's only one thing a sheep can do. Can bleat. Can baa. It can cry out for help. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall upon him. We can call out for the shepherd to protect us, to save us, to comfort us and to feed us, to bring us back into his fold. And that's exactly what shepherds do, good shepherds. They say things like this: "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." The thing that's so wonderful about this shepherd is that while all the sheep can do is bleat and baa on the mountainside or in the ravine or brambles, he doesn't just wait. He doesn't just wait around till he hears their bleating. He knows each one by name. He looks at his flock, and he has 100 in his flock, and he knows them all by name. And he says, "I see the 99, but where is the one that is missing?" And looking over his flock and knowing that one is missing, whether his flock is on the mountainside grazing or in the pasture down in the bottoms, he leaves the 99 and he goes to seek and to save that which was lost, that which is in danger, that which is perishing. And he goes up and down the ravines and round the mountainside, and he pushes through the brambles. The sheep is bleating, baa. The master is calling, come. And before the sheep finds him, he finds the sheep. And he does something that is quite amazing to me. Having found his sheep that was lost, he picks it up and puts it on his great shoulders and bears it home rejoicing. And as he comes toward the sheepfold, he calls out to the others that are there, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." So Jesus said, "There will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught that the angels of God rejoice over each sinner that repents, that the shepherd rejoices. Rejoice with me. I found my sheep, which was lost. One of the great blessings of the scriptures to see how simple our Lord is. We can understand this parable about shepherds and sheep and finding lost sheep and bringing them home. But then he makes it so plain. So he loves each one of those given him by his Father. So he risked his life upon the cross to pay the penalty due for each of their sins and each one of them. And so in history, in his time, he sends his Holy Spirit to come to the hearts of his sheep which are perishing, lost in darkness, in danger of destruction, who by their own will have hurt themselves and separated themselves from the living God. And the Spirit of Jesus Christ comes to their hearts and calls them by name. Son, daughter, you know your sins. You know that you have lived for yourself and gone your own way. You know that you have not followed me. You have not listened to my words. You have hurt yourself. You have hurt your family. You're in danger of destruction by your own will, for you are not smart enough to run your own life. You are not wise enough to know what is best. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come, little one, to me. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me. Has the Lord Jesus Christ sent his Spirit to your heart? Do you know that you have sinned against a good God? Do you know that you have lived your life your own way and followed your own will, your own desires, instead of following the Son of God, the only Son of God in the universe, as your daily Lord? Even to such people who have ignored his voice time and time again, who have heard of his crucifixion 1,000 times and ignored it, even to those who would not come to him and bow the knee and say, my life is your life, you own me and I am yours, even to those who have time and again refused to listen to the voice of their shepherd and followed him and gotten themselves in all kinds of danger and trial and trouble, even to those who turn and hear his voice and cry out to him, he will come. He said, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. You may have heard his voice 1,000 times and turned away. Come unto me, he said. Come and follow me. If you yet will come unto him and ask and seek and knock and not stop calling for the shepherd to find you, he shall find you. He shall come to you. And one day, you will understand both the sorrow and the joy in this verse. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us to fall upon him. To fall upon him. A good shepherd who would bear the sins of his people as if he had committed their lies, their adulteries, their hatreds and murders, as if he had hated his parents and despised them and disobeyed them, as if he had lied, stolen and cheated, complained and argued against his Father in heaven. To take away their iniquity. To cleanse them from their sin. And to do something that's very special. To put them on his shoulders. And to return to his Father's house with an eternal soul freshly cleansed by the blood of Christ. And say to the angels of heaven and his Father who first sent him, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. The amazing thing about the gospel is that we have a God who is glad to save sinners. Who is joyful at each one of his sheep that turns from their own way to him. Who quits playing the game of selfishness and sin and turns to the only person in the universe who has ever shed his blood for their soul. And finally believes he can be trusted. I can trust him. I can follow him. I can believe every word he has said to me. He will not forsake me. And he even enjoys me. Such a shepherd wins the loyalty of his sheep by his devotion to them, and they shall never perish. They shall never be lost. They shall never be destroyed because they have such a good shepherd. All we like sheep gone astray. We have turned each one to his own way. and the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. I know my own, and my own know me. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. If you know this good shepherd, then you have reason to give thanks and praise him every single day. And if you do not know him this morning, boys and girls, men and women, I have but one thing to say to you, and that's what he said. The one who comes to me, I will not cast out. With such a shepherd, we can face any day that God gives us. Let us pray.